Let us pray together. God of truth, in the wilderness you fed your people with manna. Feed us now with your word. Sustain us with your grace and strengthen us for the work ahead and the journey toward justice. Amen. A reading from Exodus. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord. At twilight, you will eat meat, and in the morning, you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents." The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. The house of Israel called it manna. The word of life. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Psalter, Psalm 107, found in the blue hymnal on page 830. Give thanks to the Lord, who is good, whose steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord has redeemed from trouble, and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in the desert wastes, finding no way to a city in which to dwell. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then, in their trouble, they cried to the Lord, who delivered them from their distress, and led them by a straight way until they reached the city in which to dwell. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. For the Lord satisfied those who are thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. God turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the wickedness of its inhabitants. The Lord turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. The Lord lets the hungry dwell there. They establish a city in which to live. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. They multiply greatly by the blessing of the Lord, who does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, trouble, and sorrow, the Lord pours contempt upon princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But the Lord raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness stops its mouth. Whoever is wise, give heed to these things. Consider the steadfast love of the Lord. From the New Testament, a reading from Romans. All of creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Nothing in the world can fulfill its own destiny by itself. It's doomed to failure. This is no one's fault. It was made that way by God, in confidence that the whole world will be set free from its slavery to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of being God's children. So the whole creation has been groaning forever in pain, like the pain of childbirth. And so do we, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as children, the redemption of our lives. This hope opens the door for us. Of course, hope that is seen is no hope at all. How can we hope for what we already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Listen for the living Word of God. As you hear the good news from Matthew's Gospel, in the 20th chapter, Jesus said, "The realm of heaven is like the owner of a vineyard who goes out early in the morning to hire laborers for the vineyard. And after agreeing with them for the usual day's wage, which is one denarius, he sends them into the vineyard. And then, about 9 o'clock, he goes out again. And he finds more laborers waiting to be hired. And he says, 'You also, go into my vineyard, and I will pay you what's right.' So they go. And then, about noon and about 3 o'clock, he does the same thing again. And then, at 5 o'clock, he goes into the marketplace, and there are laborers standing there idle. And he says, 'Why are you not working?' And they say, 'No one has hired us.' And he says, 'Go into my field.' So they go. Then when evening comes, the owner says to the manager, 'Now then, I want you to pay the workers, starting with the ones who were hired last, and working your way to the ones who were hired first.' So when the ones who were hired last come forward, they receive one denarius. And when the ones who've been working all day long see that, they think they're going to get more. But when they come forward, they get one denarius. And they begin to grumble against the owner, saying, 'You, those people only worked 1 hour. This isn't, we had to work all day long bearing the heat of the day.' And the owner says to them, 'I'm not doing you any wrong. We agreed on one denarius. am I not free to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you resent my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That story of the wilderness wandering is not just the story of ancient Israel. Right? We all have those passages in our lives that are dry and dreary and sometimes frightening. Those times when we're not sure we're going to make it. When it feels like maybe we've left God behind or God has left us. And we worry. Those are the times when God leaves manna in our lives for us. When God provides for us. Like the Israelites, we are on a journey toward freedom. God wants us to be more free. And God is committed to this. You are going to make it. God will see to it. God will provide for you. The manna comes in the night. You just wake up in the morning and there it is. We never get to see it arrive. It's strange. It's mysterious. It's hard to explain or understand. Impossible to control. The Israelites called it manna because in Hebrew that means, what the heck is this stuff? Actually, technically, it sounds more like, whose is this? Who is this? The manna will come to you in ways that only afterwards you'll wonder if maybe that was God. It won't be big, it won't be grand, it will be enough. You are going to make it. And God will provide so that you make it. And when we're feeling awed by that, it's a little confusing because we know we didn't earn that. We don't really deserve it. It's just there. And here's the mystery. With God, there is no such thing as deserving. There is only what we need. So out in the desert, all of the good, hard-working Israelites got an omer of manna. And all the lazy, shiftless bums got an omer of manna. All the good, righteous, pious people got exactly what they needed. And all of those selfish, destructive, awful people got exactly what they needed. Probably drove some of them nuts. Everybody gets what they need. There is no such thing as deserving. That's at the heart of the story of the laborers in the vineyard, right? Everybody gets a denarius because that's what you need to live on. It doesn't matter how long you've worked. What matters is what you need. If you've only worked 1 hour, you still need a denarius. And if you've worked all day long, you don't need more than a denarius. When we are desperate, that's a great comfort. And when we have everything we need, that's a little disturbing. Because if, in fact, you have more manna than you need, that means you have somebody else's manna. And you need to get rid of it. In the story in the wilderness, there were some people who didn't trust that. And they tried to save up more manna. And it rotted, stunk up the whole tent. And they finally learned, don't take more than you need. It will just stink up your house. We've heard of hoarders. Maybe you've watched about them on those TV shows. I guess there was a show at some time about hoarders. I've known a hoarder or two. People whose houses are just stuffed with things that you know they don't need, but somehow they feel like they need that stuff. But we know that hoarding is kind of a sign of mental illness, right? Those hoarders are sick, right? How many of us have a bank account? A bank account. Say with me, I am Steve and I'm a hoarder. Welcome to Hoarders Anonymous. Isn't it odd how we think people who stack up newspapers are sick, but people who stack up savings bonds are planning ahead? We're sick. We absolutely do not trust that God will provide, and we hoard for ourselves. And the way we do that is invent this thing called deserving. Deserving is a fantasy invented by people who have more than they need as a way to justify hanging on to it. But God doesn't see deserving. God sees need. That's why our sins are forgiven. We don't get what we deserve. We do not get what we deserve because there's no such thing. And when we are forgiven, that feels good. And when a criminal is forgiven, that feels crummy. When we get something for free, that feels good. When we're asked to give something away, it feels crummy. And sometimes feeling crummy is what we need. Think of the Lord's Prayer. We pray, Our Father. It's not my Father. It's our Father. One family. So if I'm really serious about that, it means that I am pretty much obligated to take care of everybody else as absolutely certainly as I would take care of my own family. I don't mind taking out loans for my kids' college. I'll do that. They're my kids. Would I take out loans for somebody else's kids? I should, because they're actually my kids. We are all one family. When we pray, Thy will be done, it's tempting to think that what we're praying is, okay, God, now do your will. You don't think that's already happening? If we're praying about that, maybe what that means is that Jesus is inviting us to ask that we do God's will. And God's will is that we share. So everybody has enough. We pray, forgive us our trespasses, but the word in Greek actually is a lot closer to debts. Oh, the Presbyterians win. But that's what Jesus was talking about, right? We forgive all those who owe us something because we have been forgiven. Nobody owes anybody anything. And that grates. We are like those people who are at the end of the line in Jesus' story. Well, wait a minute. I've worked hard. I'm a good person. Don't I deserve something more? And God says, why? What would you do with it? How much do you need in heaven? How much do you need in heaven? And if you want to have enough that you need, then why don't you just live in heaven now? Don't they share in heaven? Or do people have private bank accounts? It grates at us because we believe in the myth of deserving. But what God really wants is for everybody to have what they need. And it's not just money. Think of all that we have, of which we have more than we need. I have being white, being male, being straight. I have all sorts of privilege and rank because of that. I'm pretty able-bodied. I know English. All those things that I've been given. Affirmative action has definitely worked for me because I'm white middle-class American. I have more power than I need. What am I going to do with that? Am I going to share that? Or am I going to let it rot in my tent? Am I going to be a hoarder? Or am I going to see my sisters and brothers as my family? Now that gets hard. And for each of us, there's a different part of it that's hard. For some of it, it's our money that we don't want to let go of. For most of it, it's our control that we don't want to let go of. For some of us, it might be our freedom or our time or our superiority or our being right. For some of us, it's just being comfortable and not being bothered. We have all sorts of things that we hang on to and we don't want to share that. But sometimes it's only when we do share, when we share so much that we begin to wonder if maybe we've shared too much. Maybe now we're in need. Then we discover that God provides. Sometimes we have to share enough to get out into the desert to find the manna, which is a lot more interesting than living off a savings account. It's very cool. You're going to make it. Don't worry. You can't share too much. Because God will provide. Watch. Will you pray with me? God, for your infinite generosity, we give you thanks. For those who go without because we are selfish and fearful, we pray for your blessing. And for our own hearts, we pray for your healing. God of grace, we give you thanks that you give us each day our daily bread, not a lifetime supply, but enough for this moment. So we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.